Well, please open your Bible to the book of Isaiah chapter 9. We're going to continue in Isaiah 9. Okay? And we're doing a small series of messages of prophecies about Christ from the Old Testament as we're taking this break from our regular series that we're doing on prophecies of the end times. And Isaiah chapter 9 bears a beautiful prophecy about the Savior who has become. Isaiah chapter 9, and we're focusing mostly on verse 6. And I really appreciate the song that we sang this morning, because Isaiah 9:6 talks about the wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace, which is pretty cool, huh? Yeah, yeah. And today we're going to be talking about the idea of Jesus as the Wonderful Counselor. Everybody got Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6? Okay, because it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Now, if you're listening, you can probably tell what next Sunday's message is going to be about. Okay? It's going to be about Jesus as Mighty God. All right, and then Christmas Eve we'll be talking about Jesus as Prince of Peace. That's in the Sunday morning. Now, just so you do know, Christmas Eve is a Sunday. And we are going to honor God by having church on Sunday morning just like we always do. Amen? And then there'll be a Sunday night candle lighting service. So we'll be having two services on Sunday. And make sure that you're here for both. God will bless you, I'm sure of it. But as we saw last week, and as we talked about in the days of Isaiah, the world looked like a very dark place. It was very bleak, and it was a very hopeless place. There was an evil king on the throne by the name of Ahaz, not to be confused with Ahab. But Ahaz was on the throne, and Isaiah said that God wants to show you a sign. All you need to do is go and ask him for the sign, and God will show you something. And Ahaz said what? No, I'm not going to do that. And then he spiritualized it by saying, I'm not going to put God to the test. Well, if God tells you to do something, guess what you should do? Do it. So he wasn't expressing his piety by doing it. He was expressing his disdain for God. And Isaiah said this. If you want to skip back to chapter 8, verses 11 through 14, you can. But this is what the Lord said to me with his strong hand upon me, says Isaiah, warning me not to follow the ways of this people. And he jumps down to verse 13 and says, "The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. He will be in his holy place. For both Israel and Judah, he will be a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And for the people of Jerusalem, he will be a trap and a snare." That's scary. Because it's Isaiah saying, this is what God is going to do because of disobedient Israel. And he said that there will be a time of darkness, a time where things look hopeless. But back in Isaiah 9:2, if you just want to skip over there, probably right across the page, Isaiah says, "But the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." And he goes on to talk about Jesus. And he talks about a people who have lived in great darkness who will see a great light. And that great light would be whom? We live in a land, ladies and gentlemen, a land of growing darkness. And this prophecy is also for us. Because even though we're living in a land of great darkness, ladies and gentlemen, there's a day coming when the light is going to shine and the dawn is going to break and our Jesus is going to come back. And you've heard me talk about this, you've heard Jenny talk about this, that things are going to get worse before they get better. But praise God that they are going to get better. And he says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." Jesus, as the Mighty Counselor, is our subject for the day. Okay? And if we're going to think of Jesus as the Mighty Counselor, we have to ask ourselves the question, where do we get our counsel from? Okay? Where do we get our counsel from? Well, what's a counselor? Well, a counselor is somebody you talk to and that you hopefully listen to. Okay, notice I said hopefully listen to. All right. He's somebody who gives you guidance or advice on things that you think are important. And if you find somebody who can give you guidance on things that you find important, this person is, to you, a counselor. Okay? So where do you turn to? When you have a need to find out what to do, or if you need advice, where do you turn to get your help? And I'll tell you something, folks. The world is full of opinion makers. You can find opinion makers wherever you turn. You know, turn on the TV, turn on the radio, and there are all kinds of people there that are ready to tell you what your opinion should be. There's the talking heads that look at you from across their desks as they read the teleprompter and look at you and give you the news. Okay? How many of you have ever watched the nightly news? Most of us have. And you know what I'm talking about. There's TV entertainers out there that love to tell you how you should believe about stuff. I remember a few years ago when California, the whole state, was having such a huge financial issue. They were going into governmental shutdown. They were having rolling brownouts across the whole state. And Barbara Streisand got on the horn and said, "People, you need to use less electricity. Turn off your air conditioners. Don't let them run all the time. Don't turn their TVs. And, you know, make sure you turn off your lights when you leave the room," and all kinds of stuff. And what it was pointed out to her that she had a huge mansion with like 10, you know, air conditioners in it. He said, "Well, I wasn't talking about me. I was talking about all the people." Yes. I just love to see the beautiful people on the red carpet telling us what we should do and what we should believe. You know what I'm talking about, right? The beautiful people that walk down the red carpets and you put a microphone in their face and they're stupid people, so they say stupid stuff. But we go, "Oh my, aren't they beautiful? My, such beautiful people, and they're so much smarter than we are." Like being able to memorize a script somehow makes them more intelligent. Or makes them more wise. Think about this, folks. These people will get up in front of us and they'll get on their platform and they will talk to us about their favorite subjects, all the way from being kind to animals to eating nothing but vegetables, while they die of their drug overdoses because they can't control themselves. Somehow, if you can get on TV and read a teleprompter or memorize a movie script, you become smarter than everybody else. And we look up to them and we pay them $12 million to make a stupid movie. How many of you love Jim Carrey? Okay, two of you. Do you know how much money he gets to make a movie? $12 million. $12 million. The cable guy. But he's not even the highest paid actor in Hollywood. You know who is? Mark Wahlberg. Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. Mark Wahlberg makes more money to make a movie than anybody else in the industry, including Jennifer Lawrence. Face it, any kind of guidance you're going to get from Jennifer Lawrence or Dustin Hoffman or Barbara Streisand is going to be worldly and unchristian, because these are people who are worldly and unchristian people. And if you're going to go to worldly and unchristian people for your counsel, what are you going to get? You're going to get worldly and unchristian advice. Make sense? They are going to give you the advice that the best they can give you, because they look at the world through a different colored lens than you do. And if you want to get scriptural counsel, go to somebody who is going to counsel you scripturally. Am I making myself clear? The problem for Israel back then, when Isaiah wrote this, was that they had gotten into the habit of listening to the wrong counselors. Just like us. Matter of fact, it says in Isaiah 8:19, "When men tell you to consult mediums and spiritists, or whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of God instead? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living?" he says. Make good sense to me. Folks, if you go to spiritually dead people that don't know Jesus, you're going to get spiritually dead counsel. And that's what was happening to the people of Israel. Apparently, these counselors who were into witchcraft and such to get their counsel were trusted enough by the people to be taken seriously. As a matter of fact, when King Ahab wanted guidance, what did he tell his people? Go consult the mediums and the people that worship the Baals. Baalzebub, he said. Inquire of Baalzebub and so I can know what to do here. And Isaiah said what to him? Going to the wrong place, bub. You should go to the living to get advice about the living, not the dead. And so God was willing to tell his people, you're going to walk in darkness. But praise God, there's going to be a time when the light is going to dawn. Can I get editorial here for just a minute and preach for just 1 minute? Okay. Why is the United States in a horrible state it's in right now? Because we are trusting in darkened counsel. And we are listening to the wrong people. We are listening to people who are anti-God, anti-church, and anti-Jesus. And we're trusting them to get our counsel. What are we going to get if we consult the spiritually dead? We're going to get spiritually dead counsel. But Jesus, he's a wonderful counselor. And this is our declaration of hope. Unto you a child is born, unto you a son is given, and he is going to be a wonderful counselor. That's kind of a Van Horn paraphrase, if you don't mind. He's going to be somebody that you can listen to, and he's going to be somebody that you know is going to give you the right advice about stuff. And he'll never fail you. You'll be able to stake your life on what he tells you. I don't care how wise your earthly counselor is, there's nobody that can counsel you the way Jesus can. And you're thinking, that's silly. How can he counsel with Jesus? He's not here to talk to us. Oh, yeah, he is. You get his counsel to you through the Word. Because what Jesus will tell you is the Word. And what the Word tells you is what Jesus would tell you. Getting it, folks? Jesus is the counselor. And even as valuable as a good Christian counsel is, nothing can compare to the one who is the wonderful counselor, and that is Christ. A wise person, as it says in the book of Proverbs, knows how to go and get good counsel from many people. Okay? So I'm not saying you shouldn't talk to a counselor. Matter of fact, you should find a few Christian people that you trust, and you can go and talk to them and get Christian counsel from them. But even as a Christian counselor, if he is worth his salt, will tell you, I'm only going to tell you what I believe the Word says about this, and it's up to you to run it through the sifter and see what falls out. A wise Christian seeks the advice of his or her Christian elders. A wise child knows how to look to their parents for advice. A wise husband knows how to seek the counsel of his wife. We're joking about this, but there's been times that I have not understood what to do about a situation, I go to her. That's a lie. I wanted to keep the Santa Mrs. Claus, but she wanted to give it away. But there's times I said, hey, honey, what do you think about this? And she'll give me counsel on it. There's been times it works in reverse. Hey, what do you think of this? And I'll tell her what I think about it. And then she doesn't listen. She gets, you know, white hearing. But there are skilled trained counselors that can help you with your finances. There are skilled and trained counselors that can help you with your marriage. There are skilled and trained Christian counselors that can help you in all different areas of your Christian life. I praise God for the ability to be able to do some of that. Back at the church I had before I came here, I probably did as much counseling, you know, whole 2 years I was there as I do here in a week. Seriously, they decided they didn't want it, didn't need it. But here, I love doing it. Well, not just because you guys are fun to work with, but because it's great to be able to tell people about what Jesus says about stuff. But if you learn what Jesus says about stuff, what do you think you should do with it? You should pass it to somebody else. And you can bring them Christian counsel, which is a cool thing. No matter what issue you need help with, there are people out there who are trained to help you. Okay? And counselors seriously want to help you. But human counselors have one problem. You know what that is? They're human. There is one counselor who is divine and will give you always divine counsel. There's lots of good counselors out there, but nobody can compare with Christ. Nobody can. Nobody can compare with the wonderful counselor. And the reason why is because Jesus came, as it says in Hebrews, he was born to a woman and he grew in wisdom and strength and became the one who can be our good counselor because he has suffered the things that we've suffered. And so when you go to Jesus and say, "Oh, Jesus, I feel alone. Please help me." You know what Jesus is going to say? "Sorry, man, I can't identify with that because I never felt that way." No. "I can help you with that because I did feel that way." You go to Jesus and say, "Oh, Jesus, I've got a huge financial problem. What should I do?" He'll give you good financial counsel because his father owns a cattle on a thousand hills. Amen? How many of you would say, "I wish he'd sell one of those cattle right now and give me the funds. It's Christmas time." What is really the basis of the human condition? Why is it that we fail? Why is it that we need counsel like that? Well, it says in the book of Romans, "All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God." And this is why we need a wonderful counselor. Because you and I have the tendency to fail. I know what you're thinking. "He ain't preaching to me. He's preaching to everybody else. That ain't for me because I never fail." Oh, really? You just did? You said that. How should we deal with sin? The wonderful counselor wants to help us deal with sin. So how should we deal with sin? Well, our world tells us that the way to make our society better is to educate it. One of the things, if you're watching the presidential elections, one of the people running for the presidency was a profound Marxist socialist. He even said so. "But I'm not a real Marxist. I'm a democratic socialist." Well, that's what Hitler called himself, by the way. And he said the best way to make the country better is to give away education and make everybody get a free college education. How many of you think that the answer to the ills of our society is to give everybody more education? No? What do you get when you educate a sinner? A smarter sinner. The misguided socialists of our day tell us that there is a way to a better society, and it's through better education and better knowledge and more social equality. You know, wiping out the upper class, wiping out the lower class, having nothing but a middle class. And it may sound like a wonderful idea, but the whole socialist agenda refuses to take into account one thing. You know what that is? The failures and the corruption of the human nature. We preach and teach Jesus, folks, because Jesus is the power of God and the wisdom of God. I've got really bad news for you. As long as I'm sitting here with breath in my lungs, you're never going to hear about anything but Jesus. Sorry, guys. I'm not going to be preaching to you social justice gospel. I'm sorry. I'm not going to be preaching to you the latest in psychological findings. I'm not going to be talking to you about modern psychology. Paul said this: we do this one thing, and that means that we preach Christ crucified, dead, and resurrected. And that's what you're going to be hearing. Why? Because Jesus is the only one who can give us the power to help us overcome sin. The real evil, folks, in this world of ours is not people having more money than other people. The real problem of our age, folks, is sin. And the fact that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I love the council. I love doing it. But even as much as I love doing it, I can only help you so much. Any counselor can only help you so much. But by contrast, Jesus is the wonderful counselor because he has the ability to help us with the real deep down root causes of our issues and our sins. How many of you would say, I need to talk with a wonderful counselor? Anybody? I need to talk with the one who can get down to the root of my problems and tear them out by the roots. How many of you know what happens if you cut off the top of a weed? I know it happens, man. You've done it, right? You cut off the top of a weed and you leave the roots, and what happens? The root just grows right back. You got to get it down to the root, and that's what Jesus can do, because he can heal the human heart. Yeah, he can do a miraculous work on any sickness that we have. But the real disease we have is in the heart. I've had people tell me when I've asked them about their Christian experience, well, I was just born a Christian. I've been a Christian all my life. I was born a Christian. You know, my mom and dad took me to church every Sunday, and I just grew up, you know, I was born a Christian. You know what the problem is with that theory? That all of us were born with something called total depravity, and the totally depraved nature does not have the ability to save you. Only Jesus can do that. Jesus is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. And in him was the light of men. Amen? Jesus understands our problems. He's sympathetic with our failures. But he's too good of a counselor, folks, to just let us do what we want and ignore the consequences. You see, here is where the rubber meets the road in Christian counseling. The rubber meets the road in Christian counseling when this happens. When I give you the best that I understand, okay, if I was to be your Christian counselor and I was to give you the best advice, the best scriptural advice that I could consider, when I, you know, consider the matter and I gave you the best spiritual counsel I think I could possibly find, the rubber meets the road when you decide whether or not you're going to be obedient to what you've heard or not. Do you understand that? What do I mean? You can show people the life-changing truth of the Word of God. You can show people the foolproof, tried and true principles that the Bible says, hey, if you do this, God is going to do that. Okay? Because there are several things the Bible talks about that. Even tithing. If you give to God, he gives back to you. But it's up to you to decide whether or not you are going to obey that or not. Am I making myself clear? Are you reading between the lines here yet? What am I saying? Folks, when we receive the counsel of Christ, it's up to us to decide whether or not we are going to obey that counsel or not. And that's the problem we have. People can leave my counseling office full of gratitude for the good counsel that they have received. But the real key is not what they have heard. What's the real key? Whether or not they have listened and obeyed. Am I making myself clear? Do I need to go further with this? Do you need Jesus to be your counselor? Do you need somebody that you can go to and will help you with your problems? Well, then here is the question I'm leaving with you today in closing. Yeah, I said in closing. It's not even noon yet. How do you like that? I take counsel too. Keep laughing. I'm just going to sit here and I'll just... No. Here is a question I want to leave you with today. Okay? Are you listening? Okay, here it is. How closely do you follow the Lord Jesus in your life? How faithfully do I follow Jesus' will and his counsel for my life? I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, here's a fourth answer survey for you. On a scale of 1 to 10, and I don't mean, you know, we're going to butter this up because we want to look good. On a scale of 1 to 10, how closely do you follow Jesus? 1 being, I couldn't care less about Jesus. And 10 being, I follow him with my every moment and every breath, and I'm completely obedient to him in all things. Okay? On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you? I know what you're thinking. I'm not going to give myself a really low number because I don't want people to think there's something wrong with me. But I don't want to give myself a 10 because that means I'll probably be preaching next week. Seriously, if you're a 1 or a 2 or a 3, It means you don't really care about what Jesus wants for you. Okay? A 4 and a 5 or a 6. A little bit better than that. It means you're following Jesus some of the time or most of the time. But you know that there's areas of disobedience in your life that you're willing to keep because you like it. An 8 to 10 might mean that you're growing closer to Jesus and obeying Him most of the time or even all of the time. How many of you would say, very honestly, I don't really follow Jesus much at all. I just come to church because it's the place to be. Don't you dare raise your hand. I'll come preach right at you. How many of you would say, yeah, there are areas in my life of disobedience that I just really don't want to let go because I like it, but I'll follow Him with mostly everything else? Or how many of you would say, I'm doing the best I can, and I'm growing in my walk and obedience with the Lord daily? That's where you want to be. That's where you want to be. We have a counselor who's able to deal gently with us, one who's sympathetic to our weaknesses, but we must first listen to His voice. We must listen to Him every day. Mark 16:16 says, whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. I don't want to be on the second half of that verse. Have you made the decision to follow Jesus? Well, if so, then you need to allow Him to be the wonderful counselor of your life. Follow Him and obey Him. And if you do, then you're going to learn about Jesus as the mighty God. And that's our subject for next week. So let's pray. Dear God, thank You for Jesus. But I know, Lord, that if Jesus were born 1,000 times, but not in my heart, I would be lost. So, Father, let Jesus live in my heart. You give me a life of obedience. And, Lord, if there are things in my life that You do not approve of, whether it be sinful things or habits or addictions even, Lord, wash me clean of those things that I can walk before You plainly obedient. Father, I believe that as I do that, You're going to give me joy in my life. And so, Father, I pray for that and ask You to help me be more obedient, to be a believer who walks more purely. And in so doing, Father, glorifies You in my life. It's in Jesus' name I ask. Amen.